Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live, excuse me, from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, I will try to get through. Got some allergies going on here today, folks. We're going to try to get through talking about the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A lot to talk about. So let's start out with something that I think has been misconstrued a lot online, and that is you may be seeing some posts that say that Brock Lesnar was pulled from Backlash, and that is not true. It is true he's not going to be a Backlash. It's not true that he was pulled from it because he was never, ever booked to be on it. It gets a little bit confusing, but basically it goes like this. Yes, he was in the advertisements and the posters for Backlash. That was done because if he wasn't, it would have revealed the ending of WrestleMania. In other words, it was up in the air who was going to be the champion going forward. If they just said Roman Reigns is going to be there in Backlash, well, then they gave it away. By advertising both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns being there, it kept it a mystery as to who was going to win the main event of WrestleMania. But Brock Lesnar was never booked to be there because Brock Lesnar was never booked to be the winner at WrestleMania. So hopefully that clears that up. I know a lot of people say, oh, see, Brock took time off, or, oh, he's quit, or there's more negotiations with contract. None of that is true. This all came down to the WWE making a calculated decision. And in my opinion, I know a lot of people are going to say that's false advertising. But in my opinion, this is the right move. If you're going to advertise Backlash prior to WrestleMania and start selling tickets, you can't just have Roman Reigns on the poster, folks. If you had Roman Reigns on the poster, you may as well just scream at the top of your lungs who's going to win the match. They always do the card subject to change thing anyway. So I don't really think in this case it's any big deal. I just want people to understand that it's not Brock Lesnar backing out. It's not Brock Lesnar saying, I refuse to do it, or I'm holding you up for more money. Not the WWE letting him go or changing their minds. This was always the way it was supposed to be. Brock Lesnar was never supposed to appear at Backlash. So, Mike, what else could the WWE do at that point? If they had made the calculated decision to advertise Backlash and perhaps sell tickets or at least get excitement for tickets being sold before WrestleMania, you had to put both of those people on that poster.
You had to. They had no choice. I mean, there's been times in the past when I've seen different wrestling federations run up against that. Now, back then, we didn't have, the internet. The internet wasn't as prevalent or whatever, or as strong a base, and you still were dealing with, Pro Wrestling Illustrated or any of these wrestling magazines that come out maybe monthly or whatever, and it wasn't to the point of, well, once they sent the press, those magazines, they only come out monthly, so yeah, they could get away with it back then, but not right now with the internet. And like you said, they are between a rock and a hard place. They didn't want to scream at the top of their lungs that Roman Reigns was going to win the match,
Yeah, I don't think they had any choice. I'm not falling for the fans who were saying this was bait and switch, and I bought a ticket thinking I was going to see both. Well, folks, if you did, you know, and it changes your mind, then, you know, turn in your ticket. I'm sure they'll give you a refund. But you have to understand that the WWE had to put both of those people on that poster. Now, had they done this with a minor pay-per-view, I might be inclined to agree with some fans who are mad about it. Not WrestleMania. They were broadcasting this as the biggest main event in WrestleMania history, which it wasn't, but that's how they were booking it. And you expected them to give away the ending? Not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. Now, the second thing we want to talk about here is that Vince McMahon has apparently created a new edict saying that no longer will wrestlers be allowed to use their actual names, nor will they be allowed to use names that they have achieved any sort of success with on the indies. This is partially the reason why we see Walter turned into Gunther, Rachel Gonzalez turned into Rachel Rodriguez, right? And there's more to come. From this point forward, wrestlers will not be allowed to use their actual names, nor will they be allowed to use the names that they made famous on the indies. Now, a lot of people had speculated that Austin Theory was changed to Theory because of Steve Austin. That's not true either. Austin Theory's real first name is Austin. And they don't even want you, I guess, to use your real first name anymore. They don't want you to be able to go to the indies if you get fired or you leave. They don't want you to be able to go to the indies with a name that's similar. Because they feel, and again, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, I agree with the WWE. I agree with the WWE. Because if they put that kind of money and time and effort into promoting you and make you a star, and then you take that name, whether it's your own name or a name they give you, you take that your own name, or a name that you brought with you from the indies, back to the indies, your stock value has risen tremendously. And it's risen tremendously only because of the work the WWE put into it. So let's say the WWE signs a guy, and he's known as Mr. X on the indies. And they say Mr. X is fine. And then Mr. X becomes a superstar, one of the hottest commodities the WWE has for 3 years, and then he doesn't want to sign a contract. He goes back to the indies or another federation. He can use Mr. X. And now that name Mr. X means way, way, way more than it used to, all of the time and effort the WWE put into it and money. Similarly, let's say you use your real name. Let's say your name is Joe Smith. And nobody's ever heard of Joe Smith, and you've never been on the indies in your life. And Joe Smith becomes a WWE Intercontinental, a U.S. champion, and has a big run as Joe Smith. And then says, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to go over to AEW, and I'm going to use Joe Smith because that's my real name. Well, you can't do that either, because quite obviously the WWE then has helped to build a superstar for another federation who can identify as that exact person. T-shirts can be made, action figures can be made, licensing can be sold, all under that name. So the WWE, correctly, in my opinion, has decided once we give you an image, a name, whatever, a brand, we own that brand. And if you want to go elsewhere, you can go elsewhere, but you're not going to do it with that brand because that's not fair to us. Todd, I think that, you know, in all honesty, I think that's fair.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with all these names they give you, you can't take them, especially your real first name. And I feel like you said, I agree with you on this topic right here. And you know, it's part of the contract. They can't own the trademark.
Yeah, I think it's fair, Mike, because the WWE puts an awful lot of time, effort, and money into promoting a person and making them larger than life. And once they do that to someone, your value as a performer rises, but it rises only because of the time and effort that WWE put into it. So for them to reap no reward from it after you leave seems, you know, it would seem wrong. So I'm in total agreement with the WWE about this.
I'm in total agreement with it as well. Think about this. Sarah Logan's name is Sarah Bridges, right? She's now, well, it was Sarah Bridges, right?
Right.
Before she got married. She goes to the WWE. She's now Sarah Logan. She leaves to go have her baby and to go get back in shape. She's wrestling under her married name of Ro. She's still using Sarah, but she's using Ro. Now we both expect that at some point she's going to get back in shape and she's going to be offered a contract, either AEW or WWE, doesn't matter. Depending on where she goes is what name she's going to use. If she goes back to the WWE, she'll most likely use Sarah Logan because they came up with it. If she goes over to AEW and hooks up with Ruby Riott, she'll probably be Sarah Rowe. But that's your point.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct. Now, in the chat room, by the way, Derek is going to SmackDown tonight, so maybe we can get some live feedback from him on our next show. But he's made an interesting point in the chat room. He said, well, if the WWE builds you up and then they cut you, is that not their fault if you make a name for yourself somewhere else? Here's why that's not correct, Derek. Let's say I come up with a cola and I call it, Super Energy Cola. And I spend $1 million in an ad campaign saying Super Energy Cola, Super Energy Cola. And I design a can and I design everything around it until that plays in your head, Super Energy, Super Energy, Super Energy. And I put all kinds of advertisements and magazines and everything else saying Super Energy Cola, but I just can't seem to get that cola successful. So I say, okay, well, forget it. If I don't maintain copyright on that Super Energy Cola, somebody can just say, okay, well, I'll call mine Super Energy Cola, and I can play off all of the money he put into it. All of the money, all the time, all the effort, all the advertisement, all the design work, all the everything that he's done, I can use. Do you think for 1 minute that if AEW was allowed to do it, they wouldn't have used Jon Moxley as Dean Ambrose? Given the fact that Dean Ambrose was a household name and Jon Moxley, a lot of people didn't know what his real name was. They would have used Dean Ambrose if they could have. The proof's in the pudding. They didn't change Chris Jericho, did they? They didn't change Matt Hardy, did they? Or Jeff Hardy. But they had to change Rusev. That's why. The WWE has a perfect right to let you go. For instance, what would happen if Michael Keaton said, I'm Batman. I'm signing autographs as Batman. I'm getting in a Batman costume, and I'm going to places, and I'm going to make another movie. And it's not going to be for your studio, but I'm Batman. I was the original Batman, and that's all there is to it. I'm the guy who played the character, and I own it. What would have happened? No, Batman belongs to the person who owns the copyright. You're playing the character. That's the difference. There is no Rusev. WWE created a character called the Bulgarian Brute Rusev. They carefully calculated who he was, what he looked like, how he would sound, how he would act, how he would even wrestle. They own that character. Period. And it's not fair for the actor who plays that character to go to another movie studio and say, I'm going to play that character and call them the exact same thing. No, because you don't own it. Imagine how easy it would have been for The Undertaker to just say, I'm going to WCW. I'll call myself The Undertaker. Well, how would that have been fair? Mark Calloway did not own The Undertaker. It was a character created specifically for the WWE. They didn't even know who was going to play the role. They thought Sid Vicious was going to play the role for a while. They weren't even sure who was going to play the character. So if you just simply say whoever plays the character now owns the character, that's insane. Name me another place that does that. You don't own the character just because you're the actor that plays him. There is no Austin Theory. There is no theory. That's a character that's been created. The guy who's playing him owns that. It's just the role he's currently playing. And you don't get to take that role with you when you leave. That's the way I feel about it anyway. It wouldn't make sense. Why would the WWE pour a lot of money into promoting someone who could then theoretically leave and just say, oh, well, I'm going to take the character you created with me and all your hard work and all the effort you put into this character is now mine. It belongs to me. That does not make sense. That does not make sense. Let me give you an even better example. Any of you know that when Prince, the music artist, Prince, left his label, he couldn't call himself Prince? That's why he made the symbol and said, this is my name. Not because he was crazy. Not because he was eccentric and said, I no longer have a name, I just have a symbol. It was to get around the fact that he didn't own it. That's what a lot of people don't know. He wasn't a crazy guy at all. He was actually a really smart businessman. And he realized, I can't use Prince. Not my name. It's creation. And that creation doesn't belong to me. So that's what ends up happening oftentimes. So think of it more as a movie. You don't get to be Batman after they replace you with someone else. George Clooney can't be Batman on his own free time or make a movie and say, I'm a millionaire, I'm going to make a Batman movie, and I own Batman. No, you don't. You try to make a Batman movie, see what happens to you. And you can't just say, well, I don't know, I played him. How come I don't own him? That way, Mike. And wrestling's the exact same way.
It doesn't work that way either. And think about this. Remember before they fired Andrade, all right? And I guess Andrade and Charlotte are still dating or whatever it is. But remember when Andrade and Charlotte copyrighted a whole bunch of other names, and we asked the question why they did that, they themselves did that? Well, here's why, you know, because Charlotte, if she leaves, she cannot go to AEW or Impact or NWA as Charlotte Flair. She has to go as something else because Charlotte Flair is a creation, not the Flair name, but Charlotte Flair is a creation of the WWE.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And that's how you have to think about it. I know it might sound unfair. Oh, I've put so much hard work into this character. But here's what you got to remember. When Kevin Nash and Scott Hall left, they had a fake Razor Ramon and Diesel, one of which was Isaac Yankem, which was Glenn Jacobs, because they owned Razor Ramon and Diesel. Now, had they said, our names are Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, the WWE would not have been able to own that. And that would have been a problem. Because they could have went over there as the exact same characters and nothing much could have been done. That's what the WWE is trying to avoid. Basically, they're trying to avoid copyright infringement. They're trying to say the characters we create, we own. Just like a movie studio, just like an author. If I'm an author and I create a fictional detective, go try to be, Hercule Poirot without getting the copyright from whoever owns the rights to Agatha Christie stuff. If tomorrow, if I'm making a movie and I'm going to be the director of that movie and it's going to be a Hercule Poirot movie, I will be sued so many different ways that I won't be able to afford, lentils, as the government suggests. You can't do it because you don't own it. And I can't get some guy who once played Hercule Poirot to be in my movie and say, well, you were him, you own it, right? No, he doesn't own it. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't own Sherlock Holmes. That's the difference. That's why if the WWE is not involved in movies, they don't use the wrestler's name as the movie. For instance, if Glenn Jacobs was now to make a movie, they could still say, if the WWE was given a part of it, Glenn Kane Jacobs. But if the WWE has no part in it, any way, shape, or form, they can't use that. That's not theirs. They can't glom off the fame, just like the Warrior had to legally change his name to The Warrior to be able to use The Warrior. Because he wouldn't have been able to use it. If it's your legal name, you can't copyright it. You can't own it. That's why they don't want your legal name. And obviously, if it's not your legal name, they created that name. So you can't take it with you when you go. So this is just protecting themselves, and this is just good business. And this is something that obviously, if you're a shareholder in the WWE or you're, you know, in the business, you have to realize it's just common sense. Of course you can't. Of course you can't. Now, this is going to bring up a very interesting debate, however, because it's not going to be with everybody. Ronda Rousey, she's not a character. Brock Lesnar. So some people are going to not have to worry about that. And I'm sure that's going to rub some people the wrong way. But that's the way it is. If you're somebody breaking into this business and you want to be in the WWE and they give you a character and they give you a name, they own it. If you don't want that to happen, don't sign the contract. That's all. I've said it a million times. If you're going in with your eyes open, then don't cry if you sign the contract. If I'm going to play a gig somewhere and they tell me, well, after the gig, you have to tear down your own stuff and help clean up the hall and do this and that and the other thing, I'm free to say I ain't doing that. What, are you nuts? I'd never sign a contract like that. I'm not doing that. Okay, well, then I either don't get the gig or they take that out of the contract. But if I sign it, then I can't say, oh, I don't really want to. Well, but you signed it, though. You had the option not to, and you did. I want everything that comes with the contract, but I don't want to have to honor it. What happens if the other side did that? What happens if the other side said, well, you did all your wrestling obligations, but we think you're not worth the money that we said we were going to give you, so we're not giving it to you because we don't feel you're worth it. What would happen then? I'll tell you what would happen. Super lawsuits. So both sides got to honor the contract, and nobody has to sign it against their will. So I don't think this is a big deal. I really don't. I think this is fine. Anyway, let's get on to another little bit of news, and that is, of course, we know Samoa Joe is now the Ring of Honor, I don't remember, champion of some description. He won it and immediately was attacked by a 7-foot somewhat giant, which now everyone is saying is just a ripoff of the great Khali. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The ratings for this show is not going anywhere. And rather than Tony Khan get on the internet and say everybody who's talking bad about it is really a bot, and nobody really has one bad thing to say about AEW, which is just dumb, he better concentrate on the following. You're not growing your audience. And there's a reason why. I'm going to tell you what I think the reason why is. It's the same reason that I once had, was fortunate enough to have a short conversation with Paul Heyman, who explained to me in 15, 20 seconds why ECW was kind of doomed, and he knew it was kind of doomed, and that's why he kind of wasn't heartbroken that it got bought out and everything. He said, once you do hardcore, then you got to do something to top it, and then you got to do something to top it, and then you got to do something to top it, and eventually you can't top it without somebody possibly getting killed. Eventually you've went as far as you can go, and short of trying something that could potentially kill someone, which they were up to, by the way. They had New Jack jumping off the crow's nest. It's 25 feet in the air. And putting people through tables. Superman jump off that thing. They were coming precariously close to, we are literally risking our lives. If they hadn't already reached that. And there's no point beyond that you can go, and the fans wanted more. Tony Khan has backed himself into a corner. He has gotten ratings by continually saying, I've signed another big talent. Tune in to find out who it is. I've signed somebody else. Wait till you hear the big announcement. I have a huge announcement that's going to rock the world of wrestling. Tune in to find out. And when you do this every single week, eventually the fans say, here we go again. It's no big deal. And they don't tune in. Because you're relying upon something artificial to draw that rating in. Just like ECW was relying upon some kind of ridiculously brutal hardcore moment that topped everything they've ever done, Tony Khan is relying on that one signing that's going to top everything I've ever done, that one announcement that's going to top everything I've ever done, and you can't anymore. So now you have to work to not do special announcements on the greatest thing ever in the world of wrestling, special announcements on the biggest talent you've ever heard joining, forget it all. Concentrate on growing your audience through your product, because if you don't, you're in trouble. Because you're 3 years plus into this, and your audience hasn't grown. Not exponentially, it hasn't. Yeah, you went from 700,000 and 800,000 to 900,000. Okay, you gained 100,000 people in 3 years. Ask your company, any company, I don't care what they're doing. If you grow to 100,000 more customers in 3 years, are you successful or are you very unsuccessful? And they'll say very unsuccessful. You're going to have to grow way more than that. You're going to have to grow 30, 40, 50% every year. They're not coming close to that. Virtually the same ratings that they were getting year one are pretty much what they're getting now, right around the 900,000, sometimes 8, sometimes 9. Once in a while it crosses the million, but it's not getting better weekly. It's not like we've seen a huge difference. Our average was 600,000. Now our average is 800,000. Then the next year our average was 1 million. That's not happening. And the ratings they are getting almost always seem to rely upon special announcement or new giant signing. And much like Paul Heyman's ECW, you can't top the last thing you did. So now you're in trouble. You probably topped it off with CM Punk. And now there is nobody else you can sign short of Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, which is not happening, that people would say, holy shit, I got to tune in. So I think he has a problem, Mike, and the problem is now you've got to grow your audience in a different way. You can't do it with special announcements and monumental signings anymore.
Right, and look, I'll say this. You know, I think the most underrated signing they have is Marina Shafir, because they're promoting her. It seems like they're promoting her right, and she could be big for them, all right? So then there's that. But, yeah, you're right. Who else can – you're not gonna sign Hulk Hogan. He's way past his prime. You're not WCW in the 90s, you know. And a lot of the guys that would count like that are already tied up with somebody, you know, either WWE or Impact or whomever. Or Japan, yes, yeah, they've got Minoru Suzuki, all right, but he's not a big enough name here which I enjoyed that match, but he's not a big enough name here to make the needle move, right? So
no,
yeah,
he's not a big enough name here to make the needle move. And again, I think that what has happened is the needle only moves when you have something monumental happening. That would be like if every single week the WWE said, we have this tremendous, we have Steve Austin coming in this week, and next week The Rock's going to be here, and then the next week Batista's returning, and the next week The Undertaker's coming out of retirement, and then the next week we're having a Legends Battle Royal, and then okay, so you're getting these ratings bumps. But then what happens when you just go back to your normal programming? That's the problem, I think, that AEW is having. I don't care what just the plain AEW faithful are saying, because much like the WWE faithful, they'll defend the brand they like the best regardless of circumstance. AEW has been successful, but I'm telling you that the amount they've grown from year one to year three is not enough. 900,000 is not enough. If you can break 1.3 or 1.4 weekly, then you are, in fact, doing something. Until you do that, you've got to ask yourself, why am I 3 years in? Another really possible motive or a reason for this is that some of the AEW fans, whether they will admit it or not, because I've talked to a lot of AEW fans who hate the WWE, not people like Mike and Todd and me who like all of it, but I've talked to AEW fans who hate the WWE, and they will not admit this. But the truth is, a lot of AEW fans are disappointed because they'll have a big signing like Malakai Black, and you'll say, oh, man, he's finally going to get used, and we're going to see a lot of him, and you don't. 2 weeks, and he's in, and then it's like, yeah, we got somebody else now. It's like the kid who gets a new toy and the other toy gets put on the shelf. It's like the kid who gets a video game and he doesn't even complete it and says, ah, well, a new one came out. I'm going to work on that one instead. And that one sits on the shelf uncompleted. That's what Tony Khan is doing to AEW. Do you think that Andrade is better off than he was in the WWE? I don't. Is Malakai Black being used better than he was in WWE as Aleister Black? Not really. So, see, that's the problem. You're always relying on the next signing and not the guy you just signed. You're always relying upon the new toy, the new announcement. That gets old after a while. You got to start using the guys you have better. As a matter of fact, my advice to Tony Khan, if he wants to grow this federation and get above the million-plus mark, is to cut a lot of people. Cut the people who you think, which it's just not going to work, and start concentrating on the people you know for sure can put on the best matches, that's going to be able to excite the fans, that's going to be able to capture the imagination of the fans, and forget the rest. And don't sign anybody for a while. Spend 5 months without signing anybody. That way, when you sign somebody, it's special. It's not special anymore. Things like that, if it happens every week, it's not special. Give the fans what you got. Let them play with the toys you bought them before you start buying them more. Let them get everything out of it. The video game analogy is perfect. Finish the video game before you buy the next one. Because if you just play it for a few hours and say, well, I'll get to it eventually, the new one's out and I want to play this, and you never get to the other one, you've never gotten its full potential. You wasted your money because you bought it and you didn't get everything out of it you could have. Well, that's Tony Khan. He's buying them. He's not getting everything out of them he could have. And I clearly think that's part of the reason Cody Rhodes jumped. I think Cody Rhodes finally figured out this isn't going anywhere. Currently, the way this is working, it's not going anywhere. We thought it was going to be a fairly small but very close-knit band of people who thought like us and wanted to build a federation based upon this group of people, and it became, we're wide open, we're signing everybody, and everybody's going to be overshadowed by everybody. Every week, the guy who thinks he's going to be on top is now going to be overshadowed by the next guy coming in. And I think Cody Rhodes realized, well, if you keep doing this, the guy you signed on this week's show is a big deal this week, and then next week suddenly it's, oh, well, you're not the big deal because we signed somebody else. So now you're second big deal, and then next week you're third big deal, and then next week you're fourth big deal, and pretty soon you're not even fifth or sixth or seventh big deal. See, that's the problem. And Cody got to the point where he wasn't even fifth or sixth or seventh big deal, and he realized, well, what good is this? If you just keep signing people and using them for a week or two on top and then shuffling them down to the next level, the guys below you keep getting lower and lower and lower on the totem pole. There is no cycling up and down like wrestling used to do. So that's a problem, Todd, and I think he's going to have to change that. I think he really is going to have to use the people he has.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about with the Tony Khan thing. That's his main problem is signing people every week, big announcements every week. He needs to calm down on that for a while and use the people he already has. His roster is too big for everybody to fit on one show or every show.
I agree. And Mikey bought Ring of Honor, I understand, and that frees up some more people, but it still feels like some of the people should be a bigger deal than they are, and now they're being shuffled to the bottom already.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And who knows? I mean, look, I know they're using Andrade right now, and he's got this whole House of Black thing going, and they're actually doing something with it. But how soon before that gets put on the back burner and Andrade gets unhappy? I mean, I understand we haven't seen Miro for a while, but you know why that is, because he's doing a TV show, you know?
Right.
And at some point, that's going to end, that commitment to the TV show is going to end, and he's going to want to come back. And if they tell him, well, we don't have anything for you, what's Miro going to think, you know? And frankly, another example of the whole name thing is Lana. Now, she can still use Lana, but her name is C.J. Perry. Well, her name is C.J., whatever Rusev's last name is. Her name was C.J. Perry, but they do allow her to use the word Lana, the name Lana, you know?
So far they have. I mean, technically speaking, they could probably put an end to it if they wanted to. So far they haven't, which is interesting. Another very minor thing that happened that I want to clear up is that I guess John Moxley and his wife attended the wedding of Alexa Bliss. And there was a picture where John Moxley was in a leather jacket and a T-shirt. And fans were saying, how rude can you possibly be that you come to somebody's wedding and your wife is in a gown and everything and you're in a leather jacket and a T-shirt? I mean, that's kind of disrespectful, and why did he do it? Well, I'll tell you why he did it. He did it because he had to take a flight. His suit was there. His suit was at the wedding. His wife brought the suit. He took a flight. He had to take an Uber. He got caught in traffic. By the time he was there, from what Renee Paquette is saying, Alexa Bliss was walking down the aisle. So if he had said, well, let me go change into my suit, he would have missed actually watching the nuptials. So he didn't. So he just sat down next to his wife and said, well, let me watch it. And the picture was taken directly afterwards, and then he changed into his suit. So for the people who were saying, well, that was disrespectful, well, there was nothing else he could do. He arrived literally as she was walking down the aisle. So, of course, he didn't change. Of course, he sat down and watched. And the picture was taken directly afterwards, and nobody cared. So this is a non-story, folks. He wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't being rude. He doesn't show lack of class. What he was doing is making sure he saw the wedding that he took the time off to see. So I don't understand how the internet gets a hold of these things, Mike, but you got to watch very carefully what's posted, because people always put their slant on things before they know what the actual facts are.
I'll put it to you this way. If Lexi Kaufman, which is Alexa Bliss, if Lexi Kaufman didn't care, why should we?
I agree. And, you know, I'm sure, we're not privy to it. We didn't get invited to the wedding. I'm sure that he said, this is so embarrassing. I got here late. I'm not dressed. You sure you want me to take the picture? And they said, yeah, let's take the picture now. We don't have time to wait for you to get in your suit. There's nothing wrong with it, folks. There's nothing wrong with it. And anybody who said, well, it was a purposeful, dumb thing to show disrespect, that's just so dumb. So you would take time out of your busy schedule to come there to disrespect somebody you actually like. Why would you do that? Why would you say, oh, here's what disrespect would be. I'm not going. Okay, that would be the disrespect. You don't say, oh, yeah, I'm going, and go through all the trouble of catching a flight and catching an Uber and getting stuck in traffic and having to fly out an hour after the wedding and all that nonsense that he had to go to even show up to begin with, and then say the only reason I'm showing up is to disrespect her. How stupid is that? So don't believe everything you see on the Internet. This is just one of those things that happen. I would say it was much more respectful that he thought more of watching her walk down the aisle than he did of his own personal look in that picture, realizing that it's going to look like he came to the wedding not dressed properly. So, in my opinion, he did nothing wrong, Todd. I think, as a matter of fact, that's the ultimate sign of respect.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he was running a little bit behind a schedule being at the wedding, and fans got angry over something stupid. If he was not, don't want to show.
Yeah, it's completely stupid. Look, the bottom line is, the disrespect would have been, I'm not taking any pictures until I get my suit on because this is about me. That's not what he did, because the day wasn't about him. What he did was exactly what he should have done and said, well, it doesn't matter what I look like. It's a wedding picture for you. So, yeah, I don't see a problem with it. I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. However, you know how the fans are. Everybody makes a big deal out of everything. Now, the WWE apparently had put the top 10 greatest debuts on Raw or something, and their number one was the Great Khali, and a lot of people were saying, well, they did that because of this nonsense of AEW introducing their Indian giant. And also, remember the time. I want you to remember this. Remember the time that everyone got on the WWE because they made Jinder Mahal the champion when they wanted to break into the market in India. Well, the news is they only signed this guy who's had 8 weeks training because AEW wants to break into the market in India. Folks, at the end of the day, I have told you, I don't want to be the guy who keeps telling you there's no Easter Bunny and there's no Santa Claus. But I'm telling you that I don't care how woke you pretend to be. I don't care how hip you pretend to be. I don't care how young you are and how culturally sound you are. At the end of the day, a businessman is a businessman. And at the end of the day, if you're a successful businessman, you do what is best for the business. And Tony Khan, despite a lot of his flaws, understands how business works. And if he's going to break into the Indian market, it would be great if he had an Indian wrestler who's prominently featured, right? Now, I know some AEW fans are saying, oh, here we go. It's going to be just like Vince McMahon now, just going to give it to anybody to get some money. Well, what do you want? This is their business. They are not in the business of entertaining you for free. They are not in the business of losing money so you can sit home and watch. They are in the business of making money. And this is what any business does. Your local hamburger shop doesn't whip you up a hamburger because they feel bad you're hungry. They want your money. And they're going to do what's best for their business above what's best for you or what you think they should do. So Tony Khan is going to do this. I don't blame him for doing it. Now, I will blame him if he ever gets on Vince McMahon for doing it, because then that would be totally hypocritical. And I will blame him if he puts this guy way ahead of other people, knowing damn well he's not ready. Now, a lot of people wrote to me and said, but do you think it was a bad deal that the lights went out and then there's a guy nobody knows? And he beats up Samoa Joe before Samoa Joe can even celebrate winning the championship? It's odd booking. Usually if the lights go out, when they come back on, it's somebody you're going to recognize and be like, oh, shit, look who's here. To have the lights come back on and be like, I don't know who that is. It's just some giant. You know, you could argue about that. But that's a small point. The point is they wanted him to be featured immediately. And this is the best way they knew how to feature him immediately. And sometimes the business end of wrestling does indeed cross over to the side that you get to see. And this is one of those cases, Mike, so I don't really blame Tony Khan for this.
I don't blame him for it either. I mean, think about it. When the Big Show first showed up as a giant in WCW, how'd they debut him? Same thing from Ron Reese, you know.
Yeah.
How'd they debut them, you know? They just showed up, right? I mean,
right.
They just showed up. And we didn't know who the giant was. We didn't know who Ron Reese was when they showed up in WCW. So I don't fault him for doing this way. Could he have done it? It's a little bit clunky. Could he have done it a little bit better? Sure, he could have done it a little bit better. But I don't know if he was, you know, backed into a corner and he felt like he had to do it this way. I mean, he's not the WWE. He's not going to say, you know, Mr. X is coming. He's a 7-foot giant, this, that, and the other. Mr. X is coming. He can't. He don't have that type of money yet to do that. He don't have that type of pull at TBS yet to do that, right? He's not the WWE. He cannot do that. He's not. He's not even a Impact or NWA. He cannot do that. So this was probably the best way of debuting this guy.
Yeah, the thing is, even if he could do that, why do it? The only thing I guess that I understand what people are saying is you're going to throw him immediately into a title picture with Samoa Joe, and Joe just barely got the belt around his waist. Well, yeah, sometimes that happens, folks. Sometimes that happens. Now, the WWE apparently made a list, and then they checked it twice, and they decided they were wrong, and they said there is no real internal list on who the top faces and heels are. It fluctuates, but it is these people, but maybe not in the order we gave you, because they originally said the top faces were Bobby Lashley on Raw's number one, then Cody Rhodes is number two, and AJ Styles is number three. Well, they've said, well, that's interchangeable. AJ could be two, Cody could be one, Bobby could be three. We don't know. We're just saying that these are the top three guys that the writers are going to focus on. And the top heels, of course, they, you know, the same way. Well, they've released the women. And here's the thing that gets me. Here's the thing that really aggravates me with WWE and what always makes me want to pound my head in the ground. Their number two babyface in the women's division on SmackDown is Alexa Bliss. Where the hell is she? How can she be your number two babyface? She's not there. I understand she got married, but what she was also in Saudi Arabia. And you did nothing afterwards, and she's your number two. How do you think that makes the other women feel on the roster? She's not even there, and she's above me by, you know, two or three people. And she's not even around. Now, I'm sure they got big plans for her. But you can't, I'm sorry, if you're not there, your number should be zero. You're not there yet. When she arrives, then you can say our plan is to make her number one or number two. But while she's not here, she's number zero. Because if you say she's number two even in her absence, how do you think the number four person feels or the number five person feels? They'd be like, well, okay, I'm below the person who ain't even showed up in 3 months and wasn't even a part of WrestleMania, and I'm below them. That's disheartening. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. There should be no list. What should happen is you should say, monthly, these are the people we're focusing on. These are the feuds we're focusing on. This month, the hot commodities are the following people. Do you understand that they actually have Zelina Vega and Carmella on that list? Those are your top heels? They lose every week. That's absurd. And they got Rhea Ripley on the list, and she's about to turn heel. And they got her on a babyface list. That's why I'm saying there should be no list. What it should be is this month, the month of April, we're focusing on the following people and the following feuds. Might be the same in May, but we'll see how it goes. If things go well, it's going to continue to focus on these people in May, but we might add some people or subtract some people. Some people will be cycled up, some people will be cycled down. There's never going to be a pecking order that is these three people are always going to be the one. Because once you do that, Mike, you're sending a clear signal to the people who aren't on the list that you're not really that important.
Absolutely. And think about this. Another reason why, you know, there shouldn't be a list is somebody could catch fire. I mean, the fans should have a say in this list, right?
Sure.
If Miss X and Miss Y comes up and she catches on fire, I mean, for lack of a better term, that's what happened with Becky Lynch. She was going nowhere fast, and then all of a sudden they had her start winning, and the fans took to her, right? And she became the top babyface before she left. She became the top babyface, and it even got – she even went nuclear after her nose got broken by Nia Jax, you know? So they need to let the fans decide which ones are your top heels and faces, you know? I mean, look, we know what they're trying to do with Xia Li, but the way they're promoting her as this badass tough girl that will come in at a drop of a hat and just decimate people. And that way of promoting her is going to turn her face really quick.
Unfortunately, where the hell has she been? She wasn't even a part of WrestleMania. See, that's the problem. They start these things and then say, to hell with it. This whole protector thing is gone. How many people have been beaten half to death and she didn't show up to protect anybody? It's ludicrous. Speaking of ludicrous, once again, we try not to get political on this show, but a poll was just taken, and it said that pro wrestling, above any other sport, it's an exhibition. It is not a sport, but that's the way they want to word it. Pro wrestling, above any other sport, the majority of the fans are left-leaning politically. That's the report that came out. Why did you take that survey? Why do you care? This is bullshit, and I'll tell you why it's bullshit. It's designed specifically to try to convince people that a certain ideology is prominent in wrestling. It's not true. Not true. And I want wrestling fans to understand one thing very, very clearly. It doesn't matter what your political motivations are. It shouldn't bleed over into professional wrestling. It shouldn't bleed over into movies. It shouldn't bleed over into baseball. It shouldn't bleed over into music. It shouldn't bleed over into any form of entertainment, because entertainment is for everyone. And the moment it starts to bleed over and you say, I have to appease a woke mob, or I have to appease a right-wing mob, or I have to appease any mob, you're going the wrong direction. But that's why this poll was taken. It was taken to warn the wrestling federations, you better listen to us. You better follow a certain guidelines that the left want you to follow, because that's your fan base and you don't dare lose them. I got a news flash for you. And this is for Vince McMahon. This is for Tony Khan. This is for anybody who owns a wrestling federation. I don't care if it's a 200-seater or it's a the WWE. Put on the show you want to put on and let the fans find you. Because if you try to play to a base of fans, they will desert you anyway. This is why wrestling isn't drawing 3 million people anymore. This is the reason Tony Khan can't get above a million on a regular basis. This is why the WWE isn't doing 3.5. Because you have changed to try to appease an audience that really isn't super fans anyway. Put on the show you want to put on. Now I'm hearing, oh, because Discovery Channel took over and AEW may not be able to do any blood. They may not be able to do any of this. They may not be able to do any of that. Well, that's all controlled by advertisers. If your advertisers have a problem with it, then, yeah, you know what? The channel's going to say, well, we can't have something like that on here because we can't find advertisers. But it's not up to a woke mob or a right-wing mob or any other kind of mob to dictate what you do. You do what you want to do and find your fan base. And the very fact that a poll like this exists clearly shows me that they are trying to put pressure on wrestling federations to move farther to the left-wing ideology, which is a mistake, Mike.
It's and think about this. You know, the McMahons are close to Donald Trump, right?
Right.
And think about this. If Vince McMahon was younger, in control of the business side or whatever, which maybe he is, maybe he isn't, I don't know. He'd be likely the one to tell this polling group or this group, stick it up your ass, you know, because that's just the type of guy he is, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, it's not the way the poll came out. If the poll came out that they're mostly right-wing, I would still say don't follow it because – you can't subject this type of thing to a political ideology. Just put on the show you want to put on. If you say we kind of just want to be a PG show because we want to appeal to, you know, kids and families, okay. If you want to be practically an X-rated show and say we're going to do death-defying whatever, we're going to have nudity and violence, do it. Find your fan base. But don't be controlled by people who are trying to pressure you to do it, because then you'll find no audience at all. Anyway, we'll check in with Derek later on. Hope he has a good time at SmackDown. I'm sure we'll hear some. We are only going to have the show on Monday, not Sunday, due to Easter. So thanks for reminding me on that. And also have a nice Easter, and we will see you on Monday with our normal show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.